Mr. Anderson, this tape recorder is working, would you believe? How's your talking voice today? How is your talking voice?
Not too good.
Well, I'll bet you can talk a little bit with me.
Maybe.
How are you feeling this morning?
All right.
Good. Oops, can I turn you around like this and maybe pull this chair over? And you're Ralph Anderson? There was a Jack Anderson years ago I heard about in this country. It was over on the Kuskokwim. But you're not related to him.
No.
Where were you from originally?
Norway.
From Norway? A Viking. Like somebody said, part of my ancestors were Vikings.
Mm-hmm.
When did you come to Alaska?
1920.
1920? To where first?
Sitka.
To Sitka. There was fishing going on there. Did you go there to fish?
Yeah, we went whaling.
Whaling? You went in 1920? There was still whaling going on.
What?
I didn't realize that. Now, did you sail from Norway? Or did you come to the United States first?
I come to the States first.
I see. And where did you sail from first?
From Seattle.
From Seattle. And was this a full-rigged ship? Were you under sail?
No.
It was a steamer?
Steamer, yeah.
But what was your ultimate destination? Where were you headed bound for? Were you bound for the Arctic? Or whale in the Arctic?
And place in Alaska.
I see. Did you get any whale?
Whale.
You did?
Yeah, we got 42 whales.
42? Hmm. Can you tell me how you went about going after them, getting them?
They killed them with harpoons,
you know. You harpooned them? Did you take a small boat from the main ship and go out from the main ship?
No.
No?
Oh, we stayed on the main ship.
You stayed right on the main ship? Mm-hmm. And you went after the whale from this main ship?
Well, you wear a buoy up on the mast. And that's where you locate the whale, you know.
I see.
And, one man is up there all the time, watching for whale, you know. I notify the skipper and he gets the gunner and comes out in front for the ship, you know. They got harpoons, you know. And they had all kinds of rope, you know, attached to it.
How long a ship was this?
About, around 100 feet long.
Mm-hmm. And about how wide?
About 40 feet wide.
40 foot wide. I was wondering, you know, there was an ammunition boat or a sub chaser that was built in World War I that was a very fast boat, and they were about 20 feet wide. I was wondering if this were a boat like that, but if it were wider, it really wasn't an extremely fast boat, was it?
Oh, it was fast enough, yeah.
It was fast.
It looked like a submarine, you know.
It did?
Yeah.
Oh. 42 whales. They were the big black, the bullhead whales?
Well, the sperm and
sperm whale.
And finback and humpback.
I see. A humpback and what was the other one?
Huh?
The humpback?
Humpback and finback.
Finback, yes. Yeah. I see. Did you get up into the Bering Sea at all?
No, I used to hang around Sitka.
Uh-huh. And then you went back to Seattle after that trip?
Well, we had a station there at Arizona.
What was this company? Do you remember the name of the whaling company? What was the ship? Do you remember the name of the ship? I was thinking of the station at Juneau. It was a regular whaling station. It was a company station or a government station.
A regular whaling station.
Mm-hmm. I see, where you took the whales. Did you take the whales in there?
I took them in there.
I see. I don't know much about the whaling industry in Alaska at that time. And
I had a can in there.
I see. I see. And they canned the whale meat?
No, I'll get the oil out of it.
I see. They used it for blubber, the rendered fat.
They stripped all the blubber out of it.
They stripped all the blubber and, of course, the bone.
Of course, the bone for blood ice.
And what about the meat? Do they have any use for the meat? The red meat?
No, they use it all for fertilizer.
That one to fertilizer?
Yeah.
Yes. Well, you went on to the Kuskokwim country, the Red Devil Mine. When did you go there?
Well, it was
16 years ago. It'll be 17 October 10th.
In the 50s. Well, there's a long... No?
See, because I was with you when you went down to Red Devil Mine. That'll be 17 years ago, October. That's when I first met
you.
You were on the Kuskokwim.
Yeah.
Mrs. Anderson, what is your first name?
Cecilia Anderson.
Cecilia. And you were from Holy Cross?
No, Holikachuk.
Holikachuk, yes. And where did you meet Mr. Anderson?
Up at Medfra, that's Kuskokwim now.
Now, and how did you happen to go there? You were working there?
Yes, I was working for Bertha Winans.
And did she have a roadhouse?
Uh-huh.
You were working in the roadhouse?
Yeah.
I see. You were cooking, you
yeah.
say. I see. So, well, there's a long time between you or your first trip to Sitka whaling and when you went to Red Devil. So... what happened after that first trip whaling to Sitka and Juneau?
Well, they had a home in Sitka.
You went there? No.
No, they had a pioneer.
They had the pioneer home in Sitka.
Yeah.
Yes.
I used to see some of the boys. And they told me about the anchors down the river out here.
Mrs. Anderson, can you help me fill in what he was saying right there? He went to something about the... You have friends at the Pioneer Home in Sitka. Yes, I'll bet you have lots of friends there. Where did you go... after you got off that whaling ship?
I went to Anchorage.
You went to Anchorage. Yes. And that would have been about 1921.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And the town was just beginning to grow up. They were building the railroad there. And was it still a tent city then? You know, I've heard people say that it was a tent city when it was first beginning.
Partly.
Partly.
Yeah.
Would you like to sit down? Did you work there?
Yeah.
And did you work for the railroad?
Yeah.
What did you do for the railroad?
Construction.
You worked on building the railroad?
Yeah.
See, that was from Seward to...
Fairbanks.
To Fairbanks. How much of it had been built when you went to work on it?
It's all built to Anchorage.
It was all built to Anchorage.
Yeah.
You know that big loop, the big over the Seward, that big double loop. When do you know when that was built? Did you ever know anybody that had worked on that? They talk about that, the building of that. That must have been quite a project. Did they have any problems in building that loop? That you can recall?
Oh, yeah. snow slide.
They had a snow slide?
Yeah.
Did it take it out?
No, I didn't take it out, but... But they had trouble with it.
They had trouble with that?
Yeah.
And they had to rebuild, probably, some part of it. Yeah. That would have been most interesting to have seen that under construction. And then, did you work on the part from Anchorage here? Did you work on the building of the railroad north from Anchorage?
Yeah.
What part were you working on?
On Harrison Gulch.
You did? Well, that was a great trestle put up there. Did you help to build that trestle?
Yeah.
Did you help the construction?
Yeah.
What did you do? What part?
You know, taking tunnels and blasting them out.
I see.
Yeah. It's called coyote holes.
What kind of holes?
Coyote holes.
Coyote.
Coyote.
Yeah.
I haven't heard that word before.
Huh.
And, now was that to put the, what do you call it?
Underground.
And they can tunnel in about 30 feet and lure up at father and blew the whole thing out.
I see.
Yeah.
That was at Hurricane Gulch? By golly, I didn't know there was any tunneling there. Was that too...
Well, I used to side cut, you know, the dirt had to come out. So we... They drilled the whole side up, this whole thing. I loaded them up at fire and blew the whole thing out.
I'll be darned. Were you a powder man?
Yeah.
I see. I see. How about on farther north? Was there very much blasting up beyond that?
Oh, yeah. Every place.
Did you work up on the gorge north of McKinley Park?
I worked as far as mile 320.
Well, that's pretty close to Fairbanks.
Yeah.
That's getting up there. That gorge up there, you know, there's some... the tunnels and the snow sheds up along the, along the Nenana River.
Mm-hmm.
That took a lot of blasting in there. Did you work in that particular area?
No.
You didn't work there. How long did you work on the railroad?
2 years.
I see. And that was completed then in 23, was it? What?
22.
22. Well, you worked on the construction of that railroad all the way through then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Has Mrs. Anderson, did he tell you anything about that period of work that would be interesting to know about?
He's not going to talk a lot. He usually talks for hours till it, and his whole life history. He talks to the kids.
He talks to the kids.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's kind of hard to know what to ask.
Yeah, I know.
I wish you could tell me more about that.
I should come to see you about that, to talk to you.
Yeah, I know.
She wanted to tell, you know, tell her stories.
Tell you about that period there and working on the railroad. Was there anything that was really an unusual happening that in building that portion of the railroad that you saw or experienced? He's thinking. Then after he left working on the railroad in 22, where did you go then?
Juneau.
To Juneau? Did you go to fishing? What did you do there?
Went mining.
You went mining?
Trasky Juneau.
Oh, that was a great mine.
Yeah.
That was the low-grade ore. That was so big, wasn't it? The largest deposit of
low-grade
ore.
Okay.
Yes. How long did you work there?
2 years.
What were you doing there?
Drilling?
And
blasting.
And blasting? That had many levels inside of it, didn't it? Did you work all through the levels? Yeah, somebody told me, they said that when they blasted, let me see, how was it? Oh, when a big rock, the rocks would get out in this like a chute or something, and the big rocks would get out there, and then would get stuck, and they'd have to blast the rock. Right. And they said that the whole town would shake, the thing would shake going down the side of the mountain. You know? That must have been quite an experience to be there, to see that. A big glory hole.
Yeah.
A big area where the ore had been removed.
Yeah, but they keep blasting around with you. And it all goes down in the hole.
It all went down into the bottom.
Yeah.
And then that was carried out.
Well, some pieces were too big, you know. They had to be drilled again and blasted. You wouldn't go through the suit.
I see. How would they get that out then?
Well, they had special gas, you know, drilling them rocks.
How would you determine how much dynamite to use or whatever you were going to do? I don't know a thing about blasting. I've been around construction, but I haven't been around powder work too much.
Some places took 50 boxes. Dynamite.
That seems like an awful lot.
Yeah.
That was that would crack the ore body, would it? And then
well, it would break it up all right.
Mm-hmm. Could I get you a glass of water? Some water?
He never drinks water. He got this water here and he never drinks water. More than 10 years.
There was a gentleman at the Pioneer Home in Anchorage. They call him Whiskey Jack. Oh. And he said he never drinks water either. But
there were funny names down there, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
Like Mulligan Stew, how that?
Gosh, you know, that's one thing. Everybody in the early days of Alaska had a nickname. And I've seen a list of it. It runs on pages and pages. Just fellows that were in the country, two-step something, because he liked to dance. And wherever he was, if they had any music, why, he'd grab up another fellow and start to dance for two-step. So they called him Two-Step Louie, I think it was.
Oh.
Just different names. It was fun. Did you get a nickname?
Curly Anderson.
Curly. Well, that curly thatch. Yeah. My dad had beautiful white hair like that, too. My hair is real pretty.
Yeah, they called him Curly all over the place, I guess, and so if somebody asks, somebody says, where's Curly Anderson? Who's that?
Yeah.
They don't know him. Because they don't call him Ralph at all.
I see.
And they call him Curly Anderson.
I see. Well, that Juneau must have been quite an interesting place in the 20s when you were working there. With the mines running, it was a pretty thriving town.
Well, it's a pretty good town.
Was it? You didn't do any fishing, though.
Oh, yeah.
Did you?
Yeah, and on Bristol Bay.
You did?
And on that too, fishing herring.
Now you're getting somewhere, Dad.
Yeah, who did I go? Who was I talking to? His daughter is postmaster. Let's see, he's from the mouth of the Kvichuk River. Isn't that Latouche? No.
Kwiyak.
Kwiyak. Yeah. Who was it I was talking
about? Oh, that's Nacnik, Bristol Bay.
Mm-hmm. When did you go there?
1942.
In 42? Where were you through the 30s? Working in Juneau?
At Fairbanks.
You were? Yeah. Well, you've got over a good bit of Alaska then. You've really seen all of Alaska.
I've been in every place.
I guess so.
Except the north, you know.
The far north. You didn't get up there?
No.
Well, you worked on the, you worked on the railroad. You built the railroad in Alaska. You worked in the whaling. You worked on the railroad. And then you worked at the Alaska Juneau Mine. And then from there you went to Fairbanks?
Yeah.
I see. So that would have been,
26.
I see. What took you then to Fairbanks?
Bull mining.
Cleary was
yeah.
a big area. Is that where you went to Cleary? Where did you work up there?
On Gold Stream.
How about you knew Tony Troseth? Tony Troseth came from Norway. He came over in he came in 98. But he worked at Cleary mostly, but he was in and out of Fairbanks in the 20s and 30s. Oh. They lived at, maybe it was Chattanooga, but they were in that area.
Uh-huh.
And you worked in Goldstream. Was that on the dredge? Or?
No, you were getting ready for the dredge.
Oh.
You dug the hole for the pit, you know. Put the dredge on it.
You weren't actually in, you weren't recovering the gold. You weren't doing that part of it.
No.
But you dug the hole for the dredge.
Yeah.
I didn't know that you had to dig a hole for the dredge. Widen the creek. Is it?
Well, the dredge got to start someplace. So we dug a hole for it. For the best of the dredge.
With a drag line. What did you use? What kind of equipment?
Oh, we used scrapers.
Scrapers?
They had no drag line on these.
Is that right?
Steam.
Steam? I see. Thawing the ground. I see. Now, did you use the points when you put the steam down with the points? Oh, I see. That's how you got the ground ready. You were working with the steam points thawing in the Gold Stream area. That's a long valley through there. You wouldn't believe, how long has it been since you were there? Some years?
A month.
Have you been there lately in the last few years? Well, it's all housing out there. You know, like Anchorage has grown?
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't say it's all houses, but there are a lot of houses out there. From Fairbanks, you know, like pretty houses that people live in.
Uh-huh.
There's a store, there's a little general store. And but it's right near the university, you know, and a lot of people from the university have nice houses over there. It's it's not exactly a residential area. It's not like this, but it's building up.
Yeah.
It's growing up. But I saw that dredge moved. in the 50s. They pulled a dredge. Where was that? From Gold Stream over to Sheep Creek, was it, or? One of those dredges, they moved it with 20 cats, I think they pulled it, on skids over the hill. But you were there in the beginning when that dredge was just beginning to work up in there. Hadn't been there too long. Did you stay in the Fairbanks area very long?
3 years.
3 years. And what were the people doing there? They were working, were they interested in, was much prospecting going on?
Not too much.
There were some people hunting for meat at that time, weren't there? I mean, like, somebody was telling me about, he had seen a sled of meat come in, that there were market hunters, meat hunters for the market. He saw a sled come in with 20 tons of meat or, that sounds like an awful lot of meat. 2,000 pounds, 1 ton, more likely. I don't know, but were you aware of meat hunters bringing the meet to market, that sort of thing, when you were there?
No. I sold some capon myself.
You did?
Yeah, 5 cents a pound.
5 cents a pound. By golly. We sure can't buy meat for that price now,
no,
can we? $1.05 a pound for ground beef.
Mm-hmm.
He says he'd like a cigarette, I bet. No?
Oh, I'll get you one, yeah.
He'd like a drag? Did you hunt much?
Quite a bit.
Did you do any, excuse me, trapping at all? When did you start trapping?
30s.
In the 30s? And was that out of the Fairbanks area there?
No, on Kuskokwim.
On the Kuskokwim?
Yeah.
I see. Well, you went from Fairbanks then down to Bristol Bay or to the Kuskokwim? When you left Fairbanks, where did you go?
Went to Magat.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh. They were running sternwheelers up there, weren't they, at that time?
Yeah.
How did you get from Fairbanks to McGrath? How did you go?
Airplane.
Well, you flew.
No, I went with dogs.
Yeah, you walked, didn't you?
Yeah.
With the snowshoes?
In the wintertime. You went overland.
Yeah.
On by snowshoes.
I had 5 dogs.
And 5 dogs. Yeah. Did you have a partner?
Yeah.
Who was with you?
Well, Swedish boy. He went to flat.
A Swedish boy, and he went on to flat?
Yeah.
Do you remember his name? No. Yeah. But you traveled on over there from down the river, down the Tanana, did you go down?
I went from Fairbanks to Ninana.
Yes.
And followed me on the trail.
The mail trail?
Yeah. From Ninana to Flat.
I see. How long a trip was that?
And it took me 19 days.
Is that right?
Yeah.
How about that? What time of year was that?
That was in March.
I see. So it was warming up a little bit.
Yeah, a bit, yeah.
Wasn't really wet yet.
No.
The rivers weren't breaking up.
No.
So you should have had pretty good traveling.
Yeah.
Where did you stop overnight?
Any place. There are roadhouses. All along the river side.
There were roadhouses?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I didn't realize there was a trail like that. From Ninana to Flat.
Yeah, they had a roadhouse every 20 miles.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, there were a lot of roadhouses in there then.
Well,
I'll be darned.
There was a lot of traffic.
There must have been.
Going back, you know.
Hmm? How many dogs did you have?
5.
Uh-huh. Where did you get your team?
Fairbanks.
Did you put it together yourself, dog by dog? How did you pick your dogs?
I met someone in the dog pound.
From the dog pound?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Someone.
Uh-huh.
They were just working dogs. Hard working dogs.
Were these husky-type dogs, or...?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Malamutes.
Malamutes. Did you keep them for a while before... Had you kept them quite a while? Before you made this trip?
No.
Did you get these dogs especially for the trip?
Yeah.
You did. Well, did you have a chance to train them? I understood that a bunch of dogs really had to be trained to work together. Or can you just harness them up and go?
They should be trained here. This wasn't trained. Bunch of scrubs, I call it. Doggy pick up here and there, you know, put together.
You just put them together?
Yeah.
And off you went?
Off you went, yeah. I got a fight, dog fight, you know, but he got there.
You got there. That was the main thing. That was your. That was the whole point of the trip, was to get there.
Yeah.
What did you take with you?
Well, we had some clothes and stuff here.
How about food?
Oh, we had a little grub, yeah.
What kind of grub stuff would you carry? Potatoes? Not potatoes, they'd freeze. Flour and rice, maybe?
Flour and rice, beans.
Beans?
Bacon.
Uh-huh. Beans and bacon.
And flour, yeah.
And you hunted on the way, I suppose.
Well, I didn't kill anything.
You didn't?
No.
Well, with the roadhouses, you really didn't have to worry about food on the way.
No.
I keep forgetting there were those roadhouses. Because there were in the, right after the turn of the century, I don't think those roadhouses had been built yet, and people had to pretty well live off the country when they took off. Mm-hmm. So you went on to McGrath. Let's see, which you get to Flat first and then to McGrath?
No, McGrath.
First. You stopped at McGrath and your friend went on to, your partner went on?
He went on to Tocotna.
He went on to Tocotna?
Yeah.
I see.
And then they stayed at Monique and he went to Brett.
I see. Well, now, where did you stop first? Where was your, did you stop at McGrath in March then and stay there? Or at Flat?
Tocotna.
You went on to Tocotna too.
Yeah.
You both went to Tocotna.
I was working for the road commission.
Oh, the road commission.
Yeah.
I see. Well, there was a road from what, McGrath? No, not Iditarod, Flat, Iditarod, Tocotna. Was it Walwyn Road connecting?
Yes. It's a road from McGrath to Ophir.
Ophir?
Yeah.
Yes. See, my dad was with the road commission in the 40s, so he was over there a few times, but those roads weren't being maintained when he went over there. Not very much. There wasn't much work done. But he talked about it. I didn't get over there, but I heard about it from him a little bit. But they were just building those roads when you went there, weren't they?
I went there?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did they have any cars over there then? Trucks?
Two trucks. I was driving one of them.
I see. What were you doing?
Hauling gravel.
Hauling gravel.
Yeah.
I see. And were you building the road? Was it under construction?
Under construction, yeah.
Uh-huh. And then how long did you stay there?
11 years.
11 years. Was that at Tocotna? I see. That was quite a mining town then. Weren't the Lusacs there then?
Oh.
Was the Lusacs? Remember, maybe that was before that, but remember the Lusacs, the man, he was mayor of Anchorage back in the 40s.
I don't know.
But I think he'd been in Tocotna before that, Ophir maybe. Somewhere over there. He'd been a druggist. He'd been a pharmacist over
there. Yeah. Yeah, I know what it is.
You know what I mean. And he'd met his wife there, I believe. There were some stories about their early days, you know. But, how many people were there in Tocotna about that time?
500.
500?
It
was a pretty good sized little town then.
Yeah.
Now you weren't there then yet at that time.
No.
You hadn't become the sparkle of his eye.
No.
I was married to another woman at that time.
Oh, I see. Did you have a family by that woman? Did you have children by her? I see. Where did you meet your first wife? Where did you meet her?
Havings.
I see. And did she go with you on that trip, that 19-day trip also?
She took a plane.
Oh, she flew. I see. Down to Tikat.
McGrath.
Where did you build a cabin there, or where did you live?
There's a town there then, a roadhouse.
I see. Did you stay at the, you stayed at the roadhouse, or when your wife joined you, where did you live?
Cabin.
Uh-huh. Did you build the cabin?
Yeah.
That was at McGrath?
Tikatna.
That was at Tikatna, yes. There was a pretty good-sized community there of people working in mining. Did you mine there at all?
Yeah.
Where did you mine? Or who did you work for? Or did you work for yourself?
I worked for Fontella.
Fontana?
Fontella.
Fontella. Pontella. Pontella. Yes, I remember hearing. Was that, that was the person, was it?
Yeah.
That Pontella was the man? What kind of a mine was it? Was that gold?
Gold for mine.
Pass of gold. Hmm. Now, was that a sluicing operation or a hydraulic sluice?
Hydraulic. Yeah.
Is that a mountainous country over there, or is it kind of like Fairbanks, rolling?
It's like hills.
Hills.
Like Fairbanks.
Is it? I see. Because I didn't, I've never been over there. I flew into Bethel one time, and then down to the Good News Bay area from Anchorage. But it was a jet flight over to Bethel. It was high, you know, and we didn't really see much. And then once you get to Bethel and go down the Kuskokwim, it's all flat down there, really. I didn't, little hills, barren. But there's timber up there in that Tikatna country, isn't there? Forest, birch.
Oh, yeah, spruce trees and everything.
It's a pretty country.
Mm-hmm. It's really pretty. It's really pretty. You worked for Strandberg's, didn't you? Or no, that other one? What's his name?
Rosanne.
Oh, yeah, Toiva.
What was his name?
Toiva.
Toiva, a Finnish name.
Yeah.
And what kind of mining was it, was that? Was that possible?
Sluicing.
Sluicing, uh-huh. Was it very good ground?
Oh, yeah.
It was? Would you work all year round?
Yes, in the summertime.
Uh-huh. There was no way you could work in the winter, like... some parts of the country, they, what do you call it, put the shaft down.
Yeah.
And brought the ore up through the winter, or brought the, they worked underground through the winter. Anyway.
Pick up the bed up and put it on top.
Right, mm-hmm, yeah. But did they do that over in the Ophir and Tikatna area?
Oh, yeah, in the early days.
I see.
Don't matter of it.
But you didn't do that? Uh-huh. What did you do in the wintertime?
Trapping.
Well, you did. What were you trapping for?
Martin, mink, hux.
Mm-hmm.
Beaver.
Oh. Well, then, let's see, that was... by that time, we're up to the 30s, through the 30s, and up to about 1940. And the war came along. What did you do during World War II? Did you remain in that same area? Or?
I moved to Anchorage.
You moved to Anchorage?
Yeah.
And what did you do here?
I worked on the bays out here.
I see.
Then I went fishing down in Bristol Bay.
That's when you went fishing in Bristol Bay?
Yeah.
I see. By that time they had power in Bristol Bay.
Sailboats.
They were still fishing under sail.
Yeah.
I heard that was a beautiful sight. Have you ever been to Bristol Bay?
Mm-hmm. I worked on that.
Did you? Mm-hmm. You didn't get down to Bristol Bay, it was... when they were fishing under sail.
No,
when I came in the 40s, they were talking about it. You know, they had just gotten power then.
Oh.
I think it was just... It came in the late 40s, they got power over there. Because they were They had pictures of these, the boats, the fleet going out with the sails, you know, it was so pretty. But hard work, I think.
Must be, huh?
Yeah, I think so. How did you do that? How did you fish there? Where were you, first of all? Naknek? You were at Latouche? Were you at?
Well, I was at Latouche before. Yeah. 20s.
Where?
In the 20s.
In the 20s?
Yeah.
Oh, Latouche, that's that copper mining town over by Yakutat, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes.
I worked in that mine.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
That was a Guggenheim mine.
Yeah.
Well, that's what they called it, by golly, I think they did. I mean, it was the Kennecott, connected to the Kennecott.
Right, yeah.
They had to have the Latouche was a low-grade ore, and the Kennecott ore was so high-grade they needed the low-grade to make slag or something.
Uh-huh.
Is that right?
Right.
That's what somebody told me. How big a mine was that Latouche mine?
Not too big.
Uh-huh.
But Kennecott was big.
Kennecott was big. Did you get up to Kennecott?
No.
Yeah.
I was going there, but I didn't.
How come you didn't go there?
I don't know, for some reason.
Did you ever get to Katala?
Yeah, I went by there, yeah.
Did you stop at Katala? Did you go there? Do you remember Katala?
Yeah.
Because, when they started to build Cordova in 1915 was it, or 1909? I've forgotten, but anyway, I think that was 1909-10 along there. Whenever the Guggenheim people developed the copper country, I've got my years wrong, but no, I believe that is right. 1909, I think, is when they developed Cordova, and the people from Catella started to move over there. But I was wondering when you were there. It would have been quite a few years later. I was wondering how much, what there was left at Catella. They have any, were they working the coal at all? Or, that was a coal area. And oil. They had an oil well. You didn't stop in there very much. Did they have any kind of a harbor at Latouche?
Well.
They did? Was there any fishing going on at Latouche?
Yeah, lots of herring.
What kind?
Herring fishing.
Herring! A herring fishery.
Yeah.
Is that so? Yeah. Did they have a cannery there?
Seven.
Seven canneries?
Yeah.
My goodness. That must have been quite an active town then. Had there been a large Indian community there too? Do you remember? Not too many Indian people there.
No.
Mm-hmm. In the town, let's see, the mine was up on the mountain and the town was down below.
Yeah.
Tell me, what did that little town look like? Was it, did they have the wooden buildings with the false fronts? They have a kind of a dirt street with a wooden board sidewalk. Were there any tent? Shops and tents.
Okay.
They were all in the wooden buildings.
Yeah.
Did they have a bakery there? Do you remember?
Right.
They had a bar? Or how many bars?
No bars.
No bars. Did they keep it a dry town?
Yeah.
They did. How about gambling?
A lot of gambling.
What kind of gambling was it? Was it besides poker, maybe? Poker and what else?
Blackjack.
Uh-huh. What is the other game that is played that is so popular? What is that? Pan Guinea. Well, did they play Pan very much?
Yeah.
Did you play Pan?
Yeah.
What did you like the best? Did you enjoy playing cards?
A good pastime.
Uh-huh. A good pastime. Yeah. Were you much of a gambler?
No.
You don't look like a gambler. He doesn't have that look in his eye that he...
I I'm in camp again.
Yeah. What did you enjoy doing? When you, you know, at Latouche, what would you do for recreation? That's going back a while. Well, then back at Bristol Bay in the 40s, where you were fishing under sail, did you ever get into big water, heavy seas, storms, did you? There was pretty good money in salmon those days, wasn't there?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I would like to have been a fisherman. I love the water, the big water. It scares me. It scares me, you know, but there's a thrill to it. Yeah. Well, I think, you know, there's a feel, I think, in putting out the nets and pulling them in with the fish. There's a kind of a satisfaction in that big catch coming in.
And then there's a lot of fish.
You caught?
A lot of fish and fish in there.
Yes, there were a lot of fish.
Yeah, you could almost walk on them.
You could almost walk on them?
Yeah.
Is that so?
I'll take to it.
Where did you fish?
I fished on Night Lake.
Uh-huh. At the mouth of the river? Or go out to sea?
All around. Any place.
Now, did you work for a particular cannery or Alaska Packers, a particular company?
I worked for all of them.
For whom?
All of them.
All of them?
Yeah.
Yes. I don't quite know how the operation worked. Now, when you got there, say, and you'd never, when you went there the first time, you'd never fished there before. How would you go to work? Would you go to one particular cannery and be assigned to a boat, or the cannery would, one particular cannery would hire you?
Yeah.
And then what kind of a boat did you go out on, with? Like, were they big open boats?
Yeah.
And how many of you?
32-foot boat.
32-foot boat?
Yeah.
And how many men would be in a boat?
Two men.
Only two men?
Yeah.
Would you go out in the morning and come back in the evening? Or go out in the night, or would you go out for several days, or how did you go?
Go out for several days.
You'd go several days sometimes.
Yeah.
In that open boat, you'd go out for several days at a time. That sounds kind of rough. It sounds like a hard life. It's cold and wet and stormy. You'd wear rubber slickers. And how would you sleep and eat?
I had a tent in front of the boat, you know.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
I see. Could you keep warm at all in there? I see. 32 feet, and was this pointed at one end, pointed at both ends, or point? You know, like a skiff, a square back and pointed at the bow. What kind of a boat was your fishing boat? Or see, I'm trying to think. There's another boat that's pointed at both ends. That's a whale boat, I guess. You can tell I don't know a lot about boats. But I was trying to figure out what these boats looked like, these fishing boats, with the sail and the tent over the bow.
Kind of pointed on one end.
Pointed on one end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And now, how was your net put out? Was it a, how did you lay nets?
We had on rollers.
I see.
Put the net top on.
But no winch, no power. Oh. You just had to reel the net out.
Yeah.
And then drift with it?
Yeah.
I see. And then you just pull it in by hand?
By hand, yeah.
And pick the fish out?
Yeah.
How about that? And then you had oars to row, and you would take the fish to the scow? Or what did you do with the fish after a few days?
I'd take it to the scow.
Do what?
Take it to the scow and deliver it.
Deliver it to the scow?
Yeah.
I see. And that, what would determine how many days you would stay out? You know, like, was it a set number of days? Would you always go out, say, for 6 days at a time or something? Or was it based on the amount of fish you caught? When would you come in?
Well, getting on tired night, he can send you off, you know.
I see.
Come in Saturday night and
Come in Saturday night and stay overnight. And go out Monday again. Have a day of rest.
Sunday night.
You'd go out Sunday night again?
Yeah.
Is that right? Did you ever swamp a boat?
Oh, yeah.
You did. How'd you stay alive? A lot of people, if they swamp their boat, they don't make it, you know.
I haven't made.
You made it?
Yeah.
Did you get your boat right back up again?
No, it didn't turn over.
It didn't turn over. I see.
It's full of water.
Uh-huh.
But it didn't turn.
I see. What happened? How did it happen?
Well, got too much fish in my net. I was trying to save the net. Pulling the line, you know. A big name coming on behind me, you know. And they swamped the boat. Filled the boat up.
Wow. Well, how did you get it emptied out again? You know, how did you save the boat?
Well, somebody picked me up. Some of the fishermen.
Is that right? Well, you lost the boat then?
No.
No?
Well, I took it to Kennedy, come out and got it.
I see.
A monkey boat.
I see.
Torrance for Kennedy.
I see. Did you lose a load of fish? Was in it?
No, I would pay for 2,000 fish. I didn't lose none.
At what? How much a fish?
About 40 cents.
Not 40. At 40 cents a fish?
Yeah.
For 2,000 fish, that was a pretty good load. It was about $800 or something for that one. That was worth getting wet for, I guess.
Yeah.
It was all right. Gee, that was really, that must have been that was a tremendous thrill to see all those fish go through out there. Somebody told me that really a dangerous part of fishing was to get on the bars. You, like toward the river, the mouth of the river, if you got on a sandbar, you could get swamped there.
Yeah, that's the worst part of it.
The worst part of it?
Yeah.
Hmm. Well, how long did you fish out there?
During the summer?
Mm-hmm. No. No, I meant 3 or 4 years.
11 years.
Hmm? 11?
11 years.
11 years, did you really? At Naknek. Did you ever hear of, what's his name, Harold Gottschalk at Naknek? Gottschalk. He's supposed to have mushed a dog team from Siberia across the Bering Strait. Did you ever hear of that story? Yeah. He's supposed to still be over there. I'd like to go over and talk to him because I'd like to hear about that. But did you live in Naknek for 11 years?
No.
Mm-hmm.
I lived in Anchorage.
In Anchorage, I see.
Yeah.
And your wife was here then? Was your wife here then? Yes. Did your wife pass away?
No.
Oh. When did you go back up to the McGrath country?
45.
Oh, after the war.
Yeah.
I see. Did you go back up there to go mining?
Trapping.
Yeah, that fur price of furs was a little bit low then, as I recall.
No, it was high.
Was it high then?
Yeah.
Was it?
It's getting good here.
Uh-huh.
That's why I went back.
That's why you went back?
Yeah.
Thank you. Martin? Lynx? Mink? Any mink over there?
Some, yeah.
Some mink. And what did you trap for mostly?
Martin.
Martin? Uh-huh. That's a pretty fur. And beaver? Beaver?
Beaver.
How about otter? Land otter?
Some otter. Mm-hmm.
Did you, how many trap lines did you have? Did you run just one big line, or?
One big line. Mm-hmm. 100 miles long.
100 miles long. Did you have line cabins? Did you build your own cabins?
Yeah.
I mean, some people buy a trap line with the cabins already built.
Oh, yeah.
But you started your own? Or did you buy any part of it? You just started your own trap line. Can you tell me anything about this that I shouldn't? You've heard his stories before too, and you're familiar. What am I missing?
You guys doing all right?
These men do so many things. You know, it's kind of hard for a woman to keep up with all the things you do. I feel pretty dumb to ask questions about it, really. Excuse me, but what was I thinking about? I was thinking about the different kinds of traps and this sort of thing, but how you went about your... You had to have a dog team. You had to get started with dogs again.
Dogs can help, right?
Hmm?
Dogs can help.
Mm-hmm.
We had a dog team.
That was a big undertaking to go back over there and start a new trap line. Mm-hmm.